Let me do some thank yous. You know, thank God. Kind of overwhelmed because thank the committee for asking me to speak. And really, I want to thank the committee, man, because I've been involved with two of these conventions, and it's a lot of work, you know, and I want to thank them for doing what they have to do or doing what they're doing. Okay. hey, I wasn't upset, but I was confused about why they asked me to speak on this topic. Yeah, and I know you don't supposed to ask no, you know, just go ahead and do it, you know. But I was saying, you know, shit, I've been out of treatment, man. I came to treatment in 1988, you know, and I said, well, what they trying to say? you know, but my story also involved, I'm still doing treatment, you know, because, you know, I also work in that field. And it was a guy that he was something like my mentor. And one thing I learned from here about working in the field and being an addict, he would always say that first I'm an addict, you know, and then I do what I do. And my story is, because I'm telling you, about my treatment experience. Just like what it says in the literature, I went to treatment, and some people, and this is just mine, because, you know, I had a, just like it says in literature, I came in recovery, and I started looking at, you know, what other people were doing, and I concentrated more on the differences than the, you know, the similarities, you know, and if your story was different from mine, just like when I was out there, see, I'm a get with it, you know, I'm easily influenced, and they used to talk about, I don't know how I got there or I came for all the wrong reasons, but see, I know why I went to treatment, because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know. Shoot, I was looking for some help, you know, and I've been blessed, you know. I really do believe that, and that's just my belief, that this is a gift, you know. They say God looks out for babies and fools, you know, and I really do believe that this is a gift, you know, and that's, well, I'll come up to that. December the 10th, really it was about December the 8th, I caught the bus to detox. You know, I laugh about that because I had resentments early on because, you know, I'd always told my sister and my brother and them, you know, come on, I had enough, take me to detox, you know, you know, and I always reneged. And this time when I asked them, they said, you got to get there, you know, the best way you can, you know. And so, you know, I still had that image and that cut above it. You know, for a while I held on. I had to catch a bus to detox. You know, everybody, family, take them to detox and all that stuff. But I had to catch the bus, you know. And, you know, early on I thought I still had it going on. You know, even though I was tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired, I still had that denial just holding on, you know, thinking that, you know, I thought I was all right because I had some Adidas, black Adidas. It was cold. You know, I had not gray tape, but black tape to hold them together. And I had an Adidas bag. You know how they give you them promotional bags. And I thought, yeah, I was all right. You know, and I got on that bus, and it seemed like that bus took me through every place. You know, I was living over in Suitland. And when I went to PG Hospital Detox, and that bus took me to every place, man. You know, but I also know that God was looking out for me then. You know, because I had said, you know, I had prayed, man, help. I just want some help. You know, and instead of, because those times before going to detox, like, I had went, no, I stole from a job. And I found out that how to get out of that is just to say that you're an addict and tell them to send you to treatment. So they had called PG Hospital, you know, detox program. I had insurance and all that stuff. And this was something like 2 years before. And I had talked to that counselor. You know, it was all set up for me to go to detox. And then I was going to go out to this, I think I was going to even go to Florida. I was going to Pennsylvania to this nice, swanky, you know, treatment center. But I told them, that's all right, I think I got it. But I remember that night, that Saturday night, you know, I had a dope fiend dream came true. I found a stash, you know, and I also found a gun. And I got so high that I said, you know, I don't want to live anymore, and I was trying to kill myself. You know, but when I first came in the program, I used to ask, what happened? Why did I, what was that that made me change my mind? And I know now it was God. You know, and what I'm saying is that on that long ride to detox, you know, I wanted to get up off that bus, you know, but I stayed. You know, so I went to detox. I used to say I was the worst case they had because I was in there for a whole week. And But what it was I was so bombed out that it just took a long time for detox. And while in detox, they got to talking about treatment, you know. And I said, this time, you know, I'm ready to do anything y'all want me to do. Yeah. And I always tell this story. I caught a busted detox. Now I got to catch a cab to treatment, you know. At that time, they were giving out vouchers. And the voucher had my home address on it instead of the treatment address. And I said, uh-oh. You know, this may be a sign that God saying, no, you don't need no treatment. You know? So what I did was I called, which I know now was my biggest enabler, and that was my mother. You know, because all during the time in my story, my mother used to say, boy, you need to leave that stuff alone, and you need to take care of your family. You know, so I said, yeah. You know, I'll call her, and all I needed for her to say was, boy, then come on home and take care of that family. She said, boy, you better go in there and tell the people that they didn't messed up and get that voucher and go to treatment or whatever you're going, you need to go. You know, so I got the treatment, and just like what it says in, you know, they have a pamphlet out that talks about for those in recovery, you know, and I've been reading it because that was suggested by my sponsor. I said, Kirk, I don't know what to do with this, man. You know, here it is. I work in treatment. I've been to treatment. I'm around treatment all the time, but I don't know what to share about. He said, go get the pamphlet. You know, you know, read the pamphlet. So in the pamphlet, and that's what I'm trying to just go ahead with that. I got to treatment, and I just needed, you know, because I'm a old dope fiend, but that crack, you know, golly, you know. You know, I knew I need to be somewhere. You know, you know, golly, I just knew I need to be somewhere. You know, and at that time, and it is, and that's what I try to do now, is provide a safe environment. You know, but you know, and see, that's where this thing kind of like intertwine. You know, because it talks about that NA doesn't have no professionals. You know, but just like I'm an addict first. You know, and I worked this in all my life. You know, it's just there, and that's one of the things that I try to provide at the treatment center where I work at. Man, it's a, you know, I remember how it was when I got there. You know, that I was feeling that, Jack, this is safe. you know, this is all right. You know, and that's what happened to me. You know, I got the treatment, man. People, just was encouraging, and only thing that I could really remember is that they kept talking about not using. Don't use. You know, whatever you do, don't use. You know, then they also gave me some information about the disease of addiction. You know, because I had went, you know, I went to St. Elizabeth, and back then, I was so gone, I thought I was, you know, a black hippie, and I had bought, you know, Sunny Surplus, you get one of them knapsacks, you know, and I went on a quest, you know. You know, I went to all the churches, you know, I went to St. Elizabeth, you know, I just, you know, that's what I mean. I wanted to stop using, you know, I wanted to stop using. So when I got in treatment, man, they was talking about not using, they was talking about giving the information, I was interested, you know. And thank God. Here's another thank you. Thank God for H&I. Thank God for NA coming into that treatment center and talking that talk, and me, you know, just, you know. What I'm thinking about is the persons that brought that, you know, that brought the meetings in. And just like what the literature said, because both of them really, they're no longer here. And just like what the literature says, when they came in and they talked about NA, because, you know, back in, this was 1988, and first of all, I don't know about other treatment centers, but I knew this treatment center, I got to, you know, tell the truth, they wasn't all that hot on NA, you know. I thank my predecessors as far as in that realm, but they talked about all we did was party, dances, you know, that we had no idea of how to, you know, stay clean, you know. But this guy, this other counselor, he's no longer with us, Frank W., he used to come to me and he used to say, it's somewhere in the literature, the lie is dead, you know, that we do recover, you know. And when they brought those meetings in and I did what I had to do, the thing that kept me going, and that's what I try to keep going today, is that, you know, concentrating on don't use and learn about the disease of addiction, you know. And then what you could do about it. And NA, for me, was the answer, You know, and if there's anybody here that's in treatment, just like it says, I suggest, first of all, that you pick up the little pamphlet. And I also suggest that, just like it suggests, that you read the NA literature, if it's available. Talk with the H&I, the people that come in and do the NA meetings. And as soon as you leave, you know, go to a meeting, you know. And it's not a whole lot. That's what I did, you know. Like I said, one guy, John W., he came in, and, well, first of all, I knew him because we didn't use together, but we were in the same vicinity, you know. And I would, you know, let me just say, it didn't just happen like that. It was a pro. I had a whole lot of my stuff in between, too, you know, because when he first came in with an NA meeting, he talked about being clean. I thought it was a scheme. I thought it was a racket. You know, you know, that's how much I thought I knew, but I didn't. You know, I said, man, I said, John, let me in on this, man. You know, you know, and matter of fact, I said, when I leave here, can I come back? You know, what's up? You know, and he was saying, man, this ain't no racket, Melvin. You know, this is about staying clean. You know, this is about you need to get in touch what brought you here. And I never forget it, is that feeling that you had, because I did, I was messed up. You know, he said, you know what? You don't never have to feel that way again. You know. Now, and it wasn't just about not using, it was also working the program of NA. You know, so let me back up. I got out of treatment, and I never forget my, and I'm from Central Maryland, you know. I'm from D.C., and I went out to Laurel to get clean. And there was, you know, I'm always trying to make it sound good, but there was a big difference in culture, you know, out there. And what I'm trying to say is that, you know, you know, and that's why I know I've done something, because it says in the text, or when it says in the pamphlet, that when we do this, the first thing we do is try to look at what's so different. Mm-hmm. You know, and with me, it was, I'm from D.C. When I got on Main Street, they had horses. They had, in front of the meat market, they had a horse, a play horse outside. And frankly, I didn't see a whole lot of black people, you know. And John was white, and you know, but just like it also says, if you be an open mind, that it just didn't matter, you know. And you know, I'm from that old school. He had something that I wanted. Now, in the beginning, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was scheme. But after working some steps, you know, getting a sponsor, getting a home group, attending meetings regularly, and here's some, you know, and I got to say this, you know what? I had the same home group for the last 18 years. You know, the same home group for the last 18 years. And these differences that I had, you know, you know, I don't have them, you know, because that's what I try to do. I got into treatment business on the dare. I was doing what y'all was telling me to do. And, you know, I'm not going to say it was fun all the time, but it sure was different from what I used to do. You know, just like what they say, sometimes they say that it's something about that it was real bad out there. Oh, you can have a, Yeah, it was real bad out there, but when you're clean and you work in the program, it's still better. You know, you have a bad time clean, okay, but it's still better than, yeah. What? Oh, I see. I'm still learning. You know, I get a little confused. I'm still confused. Yeah, I'm still confused. You know, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. You know, but and what I'm trying to say was all, but I got a brain fart. But it ain't hard for me to get back on. It's about telling you how NA saved my life. You know, and how I was talking about my meetings, you know, attending meetings regularly and having the same home group, you know, for the last 18 years, you know, having a sponsor. Then I lost a sponsor, had to get another sponsor, working steps. And then, oh, yeah, on the dare about getting into the treatment business. I was doing what y'all wanted me to do. And I was having fun, you know, service. And what had happened was I started volunteering for the treatment center that I went to, you know. And, you know, they opening came. And I had, I was out of law. My first job was at Burger King, you know, and... I had some people here that knew me before I came to treatment and what I was doing. You know, I was just—I wasn't doing that bad. You know, I wasn't doing that bad. But my first job in treatment was Burger King, and I didn't even get to cook. You know, I had to clean up. You know, and make sure the soda machine and make sure the bathroom was clean, you know? And I almost got in a fight because when y'all came through, I would always got to go clean the bathroom because I was ashamed of what I was doing, you know? And I remember a little boy in the bathroom, I said, get up, I got to clean the bathroom. He went and got his father, you know? You know, and I said, how stupid is this, you know? Here I'm about to get in a fight, and if they don't see me doing that, you see what I mean? I'm trying to hide from them, and then I'm fighting somebody because I kicked the son out the bathroom. You know, that's how kind of my recovery has been, you know, learning stuff the hard way and being real dumb about it. But anyway, what happened was the dare was that I had a nice city job. You know, I moved on up, a government job, and... government job was first I was on the trash truck, you know, you know, and then I moved up and started driving the trash truck. But I did a whole lot of volunteering for this treatment center, and also in there I was working steps, and I was doing recovery stuff, and I was learning more about me. The main thing I was doing was I wasn't using, you know, and so they had an opening. And they said, you know, we seen your work, Melvin, and would you like, and you know, how, would you like doing this? You know, and see, doing that came from, you know, my sponsor had, you know, early on was, you know, Melvin, just help somebody, man. You know, you got to give it away to keep it, you know. And but when they offered me that job and I went to him, and I said, man, what should I do? You know, and he said, now we're going to see. You know, now, you know, somebody was talking about it this morning about, you know, how you learn the steps, then you got to live the steps. You know, now we're going to see how humble you are to give up that good trash truck, you know, job and work in the field. You know, and I was looking at the dollars because, you know, back then, man, they wouldn't pay nothing. You know, and sure, a couple of times we didn't get no money, man. We, you know, it wasn't paying anything. I said, wait a minute, hold on. You know, but long story short is that I did it. And what I do now is just like what they said before, what I said before about we've come a long way. NA program has come a long way. You know, and I know I'm supposed to keep it separate, but, you know, I'm an addict first, you know, and I be throwing some NS stuff up in there, you know. I've been blessed, you know. Now, you know, I'm a clinical supervisor, and my job is to, you know, make sure the clinical part is doing right, you know, and I'm always, you know, I make sure that NA could come up in there, you know. I make sure that we got them basic tests. You see what I'm saying? And also that for those in treatment, I just want them to have the chance that I had. You know, I just want them to have the chance that I had with this program. And I just do the best I can. You know, I just do the best I can. Now I know why, you know, they asked me to do this meeting, you know. And like I said, for people that, if you're in treatment, you know, give this program a chance, you know. That you, and I tell you just like what they told me. If you do this program, you ain't got to use, you know, and your life will get better. So I'm glad it's over, man, because God. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you, man. Good job, man.
Now I would like to introduce our second speaker this evening, Reggie.
My name is Reggie. I'm an addict. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God for another day to be clean. I'd like to thank the program of Narcotics Anonymous for showing me how to stay clean. I'd also like to thank this area for taking an opportunity to give me a chance to talk about treatment in recovery, being in treatment, when you was in treatment, whatever kind of treatment that you need. I just like to thank this group for doing that for me. Melvin, I'd like to thank you for sharing your experience about treatment. I remember Southeast D.C. myself. I used there. Even though I didn't live there, I used there. I remember St. Elizabeth. I remember I needed to be in treatment, but I was on the outside of the treatment facility thinking maybe I need to be on the inside. But that's another story. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about being in treatment in Narcotics Anonymous. I want to say that prior to getting the treatment, you need to know that you need treatment. They say that the first part of the disease of addiction is admitting that I got a problem. So it took me 20-some years to figure out I needed treatment. So at that point, I was begging for some treatment. I got a treatment by the name of Upper Marlboro Prison. They gave me treatment on H Block. And I got some treatment down there. And I told them people that I had a problem with drugs and that I needed some help. And they said, Reggie, we don't offer treatment here. You get a number and you go to your cell. And I thought that I was going to get the help. So H and I came. And when H and I came, I told them people I needed treatment. They said, Reggie, we're going to get you some treatment. And listen how God works. I started praying. I said, listen, I don't want to go back to Southeast D.C. I don't want to go back to Linda Poland Projects. I don't want to go back down there, man. I don't want to go back down Atlantic Terrace. I don't want to go back down there and be looking at the big chair, man, on Naylor. I don't want to go back no more. So whatever it takes, get me out of the dilemma that I'm in. Them people said, we might can get you some help. Do you have any family? By this time, God had already created a path for me to get some treatment. I just didn't know it. So when God came along, my brother had been working just like you at a treatment facility, and he had gotten clean. I didn't know he had gotten clean because I was using already. So when he came to see me in Upper Marlboro Prison, he said, Reggie, I can get you some treatment. You know what I'm talking about, Sylvester? He said, I can get you some treatment. I said, do I need treatment? the problem with an addict is once you offer him something, they don't know that's what they want. The problem with our disease is not actually having a problem with the disease. It's detection, right, and diagnosis that make it hard for us to be able to understand we got a problem. So when it came, I said, well, maybe I don't need treatment, because now treatment's starting to sound kind of scary. I might not need treatment. I just might need to stay away from the drugs for a little while. Right? So I started telling him, listen, give me 30 days and I will let you know when you come back the next visit if I need treatment. So they left me the NA literature and they left me the book. So I'm reading the book and I'm reading through, and it's just one, listen, man. Sometimes just one thing is enough to stick. I remember this piece. This says that alcohol is a drug, and we're the people with the disease of addiction who must abstain from all drugs in order to recover. So I said, okay, now wait a minute. I never had a problem when I was drinking Wild Irish Rose. I never had a problem when I was drinking Swiss Up. The 75 cent liquor. I don't know if none of y'all know about that. I never had a problem when I was drinking Ballantine beer. I never had no problem then. It's just when I start smoking crack that I have a problem. If I could just stop smoking crack and sniffing dope, I probably wouldn't be in the situation. So I don't know if I really need treatment, because I ain't been having no crack. I've been in jail for 6 months. I ain't had no crack. I ain't had no dope. But maybe I could get a cold. It's summertime. It's 80 degrees. I'm running the yard outside. It's 80. I could use a cold one. Sound real good. I started having visions and imaginations of just a cold one with the thing. So I told my brother, I said, listen, man, I don't know if I need treatment. I've been clean for a minute. I hadn't read the book. I know something about clean. I've been clean for a minute. He said, well, Reggie, what are you willing to do? I said, well, if y'all had just put me some money on the books. And I got a bail that they need y'all to put up. If y'all would just get me out on bail and everything, I'd probably be willing to go to treatment. But you got to get me on bail first. But I need to tell y'all, the last time they got me out on bail, I went in Naylor Road, in a house I was staying in on Naylor Road in Southeast D.C. And I told them I was going to get my clothes. And when I went in the door in the front of Naylor Road, I came out the back. They didn't see me for 3 years after that. So they knew not to get me on bail and take me nowhere but to treatment. So my brother, by him being in recovery and being a counselor, he said, Reggie, what I want you to do is go to treatment. He said, and I'm going to guarantee you that if you try this program, you might not use no more. Now listen, man, y'all need to know that my brother was a dope fiend, man. I wasn't a dope fiend. He was worse than me. So I felt like if he could go to treatment and get better, then maybe I could go to treatment and get better. So I said, well, let me see your arms. See, my brother shot dope. I didn't shoot dope because I wouldn't like y'all dope addicts. I just sniff dope every now and then. I ain't like y'all had a problem. Y'all used to stick y'all stuff. I just like to sniff. So I said, let me see your arms. And when he showed me his arms, I said, well, wait a minute. He ain't got abscesses no more. Right? I said, well, wait a minute. Hold your hands out. And his hands wasn't swollen no more. So listen, man, as addicts, we sometimes need tangible evidence that we can see in order to believe that a miracle can happen. So when I seen that his hands had went down and he didn't have abscess no more, I said, well, wait a minute, the program, something happened. Maybe I need to go to treatment. Because, listen, I need to get honest. I had been smoking crack, man, and I was wearing two pair of pants, and I thought I had a six-pack. Come to find, I just had a pack. I didn't have a six-pack. I just had a pack. I used to be in the muscle, you know, flexing my muscle, you know, because, you know, when you're in jail, you be doing stuff, you get stuff back that was missing. You know, the program say that we long-lost dreams are awakening. I thought I was fit and thing. I was in a mirror, Jackie. I was doing stuff like this. In the mirror, I was looking. I said, well, maybe just if I go to treatment, I'm going to treatment. I told my brother, I said, I'm willing to go. Here go how God intervened in my life. I'm telling y'all about treatment. When I got there, they only gave out one free bed a month. I didn't have no money. I'm a crackhead. Crackheads don't keep money. And he said, Reggie, Listen, if you can hold out in jail until the end of the month, they got a bed coming available. Now listen, I'm saying that because there's some folks that don't believe you can use in jail. There's some folks that don't believe, man, when you go to jail, you got to make a conscious decision not to put nothing in you. So he said, if you can just make it ready to the end of the month, you might be able to get a bed. So now I'm getting hope. Now, listen, man, I'm going to take y'all with me on this trip. I don't understand hope right now. I come from a hopeless dilemma. I don't understand hope right now. So here I'm getting some hope now. I'm starting to get a ray of hope that just maybe my life can turn around. Just maybe I can stop crying all night. Just maybe I can stop feeling the pain of active addiction all the time. Something in me was crying out that, Reggie, you need to stop doing what you're doing. I had lost everything. Animalistic instinct, eating out of trash cans, brushing my teeth with my fingers with soap in the bathroom, wearing the same clothes for 30 days, sleeping in the hallway, acting like I was going to work, never having nowhere to go. I'm talking about having nothing. Dereliction and degradation was, listen, let me share this. You get so deep into degradation and isolation and degradation, it becomes invisible to you. You can't even see that you're a derelict. You can't even see that you're living in degradation. You know you need treatment, but treatment seems so far away that just one more drug will do me well. I'm talking about I don't have the ability to live life on its own terms. I'm talking about the pain of sitting in my own reality, thinking about the pain that it takes to stay in my reality because of what drugs has done to my life. I said I needed some treatment. I needed something to turn my life around. So I went to this facility with hopes that maybe, just maybe, my nightmare could be over. Because 25 years I used. I didn't come from one of them little soft addictions, and I ain't beating nobody up. I'm talking about day after day after day, year after year, going back and forth to jail, in and out of crack houses. And they got something that they be sharing all this hip stuff in narcotics. Now I'm talking about abandoned miniums. I don't understand that. I need to clear up some stuff, man. Listen, ain't no such thing as an abandoned minium. You are living in animalistic levels. You are living in a dump. Ain't no running water. I'm talking about going to the bathroom and not being able to lift the toilet because of what it smelled like. I'm talking about not having lights and knowing that what's going to happen at night was going to be worse than what it was the night before and do it anyway. So I needed some hope. And jail seemed like a real good place to be for me at this point in my addiction. So they said, was you ready for some treatment? I went to the treatment facility by God's grace. I got a bed in White Deer Run. And I stayed there, man, for the first 15 days. I'm going to talk about an addict in treatment that need treatment and don't know they need treatment. And I started teaching Bible classes. I'm spiritual now. I done got 15 days of straight meals. I done got a fresh haircut. I done got some fresh gear on. I done got 2-3 visits. I done got my leg rubbed, and the girl told me that she liked me. So I decided, y'all need to be saved. Somebody getting saved in here. I don't need no treatment no more. Some of y'all in here need some treatment. I'm going to help you. We're going to find your higher power tonight. So I told him. So they pulled me up. They had a thing called staff, and they pulled me up in the treatment facility, and the counselors put me around in the chair. And they said, listen, Reggie, we need to ask you a couple questions. I said, no problem. They said, you having Bible studies? And I said, yes, sir. They said, Reggie, are you helping anybody? I said, oh, yes, sir. They said, we don't need no counselors, Reggie, and we don't need Bible study here at the facility. But what we need you to do is make a decision. If you want to stay here, stop doing the Bible studies, or you could go back to jail. Now, listen. Listen, you don't know you got a higher power till your higher power appear. When they said go back to jail, I instantly got some sanity. No, I don't want it. I will stop the Bible class tomorrow. You ain't got to go back. No, I'm not going back to jail. So now I'm at the 28th day of the treatment. And what happened for me was fear came upon me. Because for the last 25 years of my life, I had been living in the horrors of active addiction. Now for the last 28 days of my life, I had been living a life that I had never imagined possible without drugs. And they told me that I had to leave. I started crying because I was so afraid that all I knew was to go back to what I knew. All I knew was people, places, and things that would get me right back to where I got, man. Somebody asked me today, Reggie, where you from? Listen, I was born and raised in Philadelphia. But my disease took me all over the place. I used in Baltimore, successfully, no. I used in Washington, D.C., successfully, no. I used in New Jersey, successfully, no. I used in Philadelphia, successfully, no. I said, I'm going to leave. I went to another state, came back to Philadelphia, thought I could use. No, I ended up, listen, jails, institutions of death. And I need to tell y'all, it's some identification that goes with death that they don't talk about in Narcotics Anonymous. I need to share, my spirit was dead. I just didn't know it was dead. I wasn't praying no more. I had gotten to the point where life and it's just making another day was a chore. Just the degradation it take to beg somebody for one more. The degradation it took for me to go into the Chinese joint and be banned from the Chinese joint for stealing oodles of noodles. I wasn't no high class thief. I was a bum. I was stealing Vienna wafers and I was a bum. I got kicked out of some places. The places I got kicked out of, most of us today wouldn't want to go into. Getting kicked out of a dope shooting house. I got kicked out of a crack house. So I'm in treatment and I'm going through the process and I'm feeling good about recovery. So I get involved with the process. Now, here's what I need to share with y'all. You get to the point where you get a new type of treatment that you need in your life. Right? The treatment you get in your life starts to get to a point where when you start going through life on its own terms, it intensifies itself. We don't know how to deal with life in its own terms. It says because of our decision-making process, we create our own problems. So we start getting the girl. We get the God. We get the job. We get the thing. We get the thing fixed up. We start wearing certain things, and everything starts to come down on us, and that's when the treatment has to start. Because when I get to the mirror at night, I start thinking about how slimy I really am. And how I've been running around in Narcotics Anonymous in my early recovery sleeping with women. How I was not worth being somebody's husband. How I was not worth being looked at in the right way. But I was running around all over the place sharing a Narcotics Anonymous message. But I was living a Narcotics Anonymous nightmare. Get to a point where you need some treatment. I start saying, God, if you just change me today, if you just stop making me do what I do, if you'll stop giving me the self-esteem that I need to feel good about myself, make me better than what I've been. God, I need you to straighten me up right now. Listen, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired clean, man. People, stop telling the lie. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. I'm talking about getting sick and tired of spending money I didn't have on them credit cards. I'm talking about being sick and tired of acting like I'm wanted and I'm knowing that I'm not. I'm getting sick and tired of being make-retain. I said, God, if you just change me right now. And the process started. I got into treatment. And the treatment became intensive care treatment. I needed a constant drip of love. I needed a constant drip of patience. I needed a constant drip of tolerance. I needed a constant drip of what God can do in my life. I said, I'm sick and tired of crying at night. I'm sick and tired of acting like I'm somebody I ain't. I'm sick and tired of feeling less than. I'm sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of living up to expectations that ain't mine. I said, God, if you change me, you never have to worry about hearing this prayer no more. So now he come along and he give me the treatment I need, the loving and caring that you get in Narcotics Anonymous. I need constant care. People calling me regularly, Reggie, are you all right? Just don't do the wrong thing today, Reggie. Reggie, just don't trick today. Reggie, just don't harm anybody today. Just be the best person you can be today. If you can just make it through the day. This is one day at a time program. Sometimes I need treatment minute by minute. Left up to my own devices, I destroy stuff. The last 9 months, I've been in intensive care. Surgical intensive care. ICU. MICU. Thank God I see you. It's been some people who God has strategically placed in my life. I'm going through a vicious situation in my life. Right? And I'm asking God to give me what I need to still be the best person I could be. I'm asking God to let me still be a power of example in Narcotics Anonymous. A friend of mine told me, he said, Reggie, no matter what you go through, man, don't lose your integrity. He said, you'd worked a long time to get your integrity. Reggie, don't lose your integrity for something instantaneously. He said, I know it's going to be difficult to go through some of them nights alone. I know it's going to be difficult to be at them conventions alone. I know it's going to be difficult, man, to look at these women and not tell them you want to go to bed. I know it's going to be difficult. Because I need sometimes instant gratification. That's treatment too. I need to tell you the truth, man. I'm telling you, sometimes we look for treatment that we don't understand that we need. See, I need to tell you that sometimes self-gratification, male or female, stop working. Sometimes the jellies and the gels don't work no more. And I'm talking about when you buck naked, laying there with you, God, and your emotions, and you well up on the inside. Start feeling in and saying, like, God, why me? Because you in treatment. I need to say that it takes 14 to 28 days to establish a new habit. Sometimes God needs to take it and rack the foundation of everything that we believe in order to change the character that we are so that somebody can see the light that he put in us because of this Narcotics Anonymous program, and you can become the example that he wants you to be. Because in and of myself, I don't have the ability to do so. So I say, God, you need to show up. You promised me that I could have freedom. You promised me that I could have hope. You promised me that no addict seeking recovery should ever die. You promised me that an addict that successfully practices a program will never use. You promised me, God. And I'm doing that. So I said, okay, God, I need you to get me in treatment. 9 months ago, I asked for God to put me in treatment because of my pain in my relationship. And I asked God to keep me from being a harm to somebody else in the process. So God been having me speak all over the place. And I couldn't figure out how I was going to get the money to do it, man. I couldn't figure out how I was going to stay in the hotels for 3 days by myself, man. I couldn't figure out how I was going to make it up and down the highway without nobody riding with me. Jeff, I'm talking about the pain of sometimes being alone, trying to do what you got to do just not to use. Using become an option, man. I don't want nobody to think that clean time bars you from using become an option, man. I'm telling you, some nights it's just cry until you can't cry no more. Just pray until you can't pray no more. Just make it through one more stone. Listen, because tomorrow will give you another chance. So I asked God again, man, why am I here? Why am I here? I've been sharing a long time, man. I've been sponsoring cats, man. I've been going to conventions. Why do I have to live in such an unhappy state? Because God want me to hear what he got to say. He want me to be nurtured by him for a change and not by something that's physical in nature. You know, I'm in treatment, man. I'm getting a treatment that I never imagined, man, because I already know that he can ready to do a work in my life. I already know he can ready to let me help somebody. I already know that I've got what I need from Narcotics Anonymous to be a vessel for Narcotics Anonymous. I already know that I might not have lived the perfect program, but you damn sure can't say that Reggie did anything recently to harm nobody. Took me a lot of years to get to this point. I slept with a lot of people in this fellowship, and I ain't proud of it. Ain't nothing to put on my belt as a notch. Because harm is harm, and I got an 8-step list that I created when I was clean. But I'm telling you what I got out of all of this, man, that the treatment I've been getting, man, has been greater than anything that I've ever had. The treatment, man, of being able to call on the God of my understanding, man, in the hours when the pain is great. Being able to say, listen, I need some help, man. I need somebody to ride with me because I feel like I want to use. I need to say, man, that I just said about you, drugs ain't the only issue I suffer from. I suffer from feelings of wanting to have intimacy in my life. I suffer, man, from not being able to hold somebody sometimes. I suffer, man, sometimes that saying no matter how great of a program you got, you still got natural emotions. No matter how great of a recovery you got, you still going to feel some pain that will rock your foundation and make you buckle down and cry. Got something in the literature that's called surgery of the spirit. Fifth step stuff. Goes through a massive surgery, and I need to say that the recovery process, right? Let me tie it in the treatment thing. The recovery process after going through surgery, you need treatment. So after the surgery, my spirit gets started, I need treatment. I need people to nurture me. I need women in my life that will not try to go to bed with me based on their emotions, their lack of whatever, and my lack of whatever. I need women to say, listen, boo, put your hands back up on my shoulders and not down there where you got them at. Move them, please. I need people to say that, listen, Reggie, I understand where you at and everything, but maybe you need to call your sponsor. I need people that say that, listen, man, you in treatment, Reggie, but I'm in treatment too. Right? I need people to understand that once I can reach a point of freedom that this treatment that I'm going through right now gets, I can help you find the same treatment that I'm getting. Yeah. I'm telling you, this treatment that I'm going through, Bernard, has been intensive. Yeah. I'm talking about riding in the car some mornings, man, and just crying. Yeah. Right? And I ain't want to tell you all that stuff. I want to tell y'all I'm having this great, fabulous time down here at Ocean City. We got some men down here. We bonding. We doing the daggone thing. We came all the way down here from Baltimore. We getting it in, baby. The truth of the matter is, had they not been with me, I came prepared for just in case. And there's some people that's in my support group that know about just in case. And after a while, I knew after a while everybody would go to sleep. And just in case I went to the dance, I might see somebody that was just as vulnerably sick as I am. And just in case she ain't got no room of her own, we could have enough money to go do something else, because I keep just in case money in my pocket. Step says, man, when you get to the point of the eighth and ninth step, when you're making the list, you got to act as if it's no ninth step. The piece in that is that you don't want to cause no more harm, Reggie. Here go the piece that I need to get in. Listen, get right out there in terms of treatment. What I'm finding out while I've been in treatment is that the harm that you cause don't always be the other person. I'm talking about the harm we have the ability to feel once we start living this program of Narcotics Anonymous based on what the work you do in the sixth step, right? Based on that work, you start having the ability to feel when you're doing something wrong and know that you're wrong. And you start, the literature says you can look in the face of others and start to feel the harm that you've done. I don't want to look at none of y'all this weekend and see y'all at the next convention and y'all be saying, yeah, you was saying that, all that stuff. Why you tell them about what? Yeah, I ain't got to tell nobody nothing. Nothing. Do you know how good that feels to be in treatment, to be able to say that a whore can become husband material? Do you know how good it feels to say that my integrity is intact? Do you know how good it feels to be able to say that, yeah, I've been looking at some stuff, but I ain't going shopping for nothing in here? Because I know once I go shopping, I got to buy something. I might not pay the price it take to keep it. So I'm sacrificing. I'm doing what I got to do, and I'm being honest. I'm being rigorously honest, and I'm talking about really what's going on with me. I'm talking about the treatment process. I'm talking about how I'm being treated by some people who love and care about me. They fed me today. Just don't use. Just play gospel. Just sing. What? Just do. Just don't use. You in treatment, Reggie. Just come over here and get some intensive. We got some a drip thing for you. Just love. Patience. We just going to drip it in you. Just come. Don't do the wrong thing. Because listen, man, I need to share this. It takes time to heal from anything. Treatment is all about finding out what the problem is, finding out what the solution is, then working toward the solution so that you can get the end result that you're looking for. I said, okay, God, I found out my problem, that I've not been what I need to be, that I've not been as faithful as I could have been, that I've not been as honest as I could have been. I've not been emotionally available as I could have been. I've not been the man that maybe I could have been. But I've been the best man that I could have been with the information that I had. So in treatment, I've learned some new stuff. I've learned that you need to be loving and caring. Number one place is at home. You need to be going home taking this beautiful program of Narcotics Anonymous. You need to be nurturing your wife or your girl at home or your husband at home in a way that you've never done before. Because there's somebody waiting in the background, Jack, that's willing to do everything you ain't willing to do. And all it takes is for them to get a shot of treatment from somebody else, and what you got as treatment no longer ain't no good. And then you want to say, give me another. No, 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 you had your chance. You had more than enough chances. And at this point, in this juncture in your life, your chances may have run out. So I'm in treatment. I started in treatment in 1991. I've been in treatment for the last 16 and some change years. And right now, I need to share this real quickly. I started my treatment in Prince George County. My treatment went from there to Pennsylvania up in the mountains. From there, it went right back to Upper Marlboro Jail clean. From there, it went to Baltimore. From Baltimore, it went right back. By God's grace, I'm working in Prince George County again. And I couldn't figure out for the life of me, what am I doing in Prince George County again? Because now, Reggie, the treatment that you've been receiving for the last almost 17 years, I got you right back to where the degradation ended for you. I got you right back to where the dereliction ended for you. I got you walking into houses every day looking at dereliction, degradation, looking at people and having to tell them honestly what God has done for you. I got you as the material thing that people need to see in order to believe that I can do some work. I got you right back in the same neighborhoods where you was ripping and running, acting like a knucklehead. Now you walking with the dignity. You walking with the power that Narcotics Anonymous gave. Because don't think for a minute you're supposed to be powerless when you get to the 12 step. You better not be. You better have some power when you get to the 12 step. Because you got a job to carry out for God. It says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carry the message out. Where are you talking about, Reggie, you get the power? Because the 11th step says so. Right? You get a conscious contact with God in order to carry the power to carry out his will. So I got some power now. Them people see God's power from Narcotics Anonymous now. When I'm walking in their house, doing them inspections, I told two men the other day, straight in their face, you need to get your life together. You got five kids walking around here looking at this diseased house. You need to get yourself together. Well, I've been, no, you can't tell them. You better show them. Because if a child don't learn how to eat at home, and they have to do like Reggie and go outside and learn how to eat, the food that they eat can be devastating to them for at least 25 years. And it might take them a whole 17 to eat right again. So whatever treatment you into, if you thought you was going to come in here about some rehab, too bad. I need to tell you that it's treatment that needs to go on day after day after day in Narcotics Anonymous. It took day after day after day to get to Narcotics Anonymous. And it's going to take patience, tolerance, all of those things, open-mindedness, willingness that it talks about in our literature to keep a day after day after day process. So listen, I'd like to thank you guys for coming here, man, and sharing this time with you.